Welcome, welcome, welcome to the house of the Lord. This is Pastor Brian, and I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the scripture teaches, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That verse carries kind of deeper meaning to us during these difficult days. I want to encourage us to remain patient and connected to what God is doing through Chapel of Change during these difficult times. Stay connected to us through social media. Stay connected through in-person worship services. We do have around 11 in-person worship services from Saturday to Sunday. And then about a month ago, I launched a new text message ministry where I want to connect to you beyond the worship service. Make sure you're being spiritually fed. Make sure you're updated on the progress and the relaunching of the church. So if you're not on my list, make sure you text your name to this number I'm about to give. It's 562-393-7330. That's 562-393-7330. The number should be on the screen. Text your name and we'll put you on the list, because I want to remain connected to you during these difficult times, ensure that you're being encouraged and you're being spiritually fed. We are relaunching Chapel of Change in different phases, and we're excited because we're relaunching with fresh vision, fresh passion, and fresh glory to the glory of God. So I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John, the letter of 1 John. As you know, on the weekends, we are making our way through this small yet powerful letter, passage by passage. We're kind of dissecting it, putting it up underneath a microscope, kind of feeding off of it. And the Lord is showing us some awesome things. He's teaching us and molding us and shaping us through the power of His Word. So if you're able, I'm going to invite you to stand to your feet right now for the reading of God's Word. Come on, let's stand to our feet. And we're going to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. And the Word of the Lord reads like this. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We open up our hearts. Please feed us and teach us, challenge us, inspire us, and if need be, correct us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen and amen and amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're working our way through this small yet powerful letter. I want to encourage you to read this letter throughout the week so that by the time you come back on Sunday, your heart will be more prepared for the expounding of scriptures. Apostle John, at the time that he writes this letter, is an elderly man, and he has endured much affliction for the kingdom of God. He, at this time, is what we call in the LBC a triple OG, a triple OG. Some believe he's around 85 years old at the time that he writes this letter. And because of his age and what the church is facing at this time, he doesn't waste any time in his letter. He doesn't have time to mess around. John doesn't hold any punches. He tells it like it is, raw, uncut, no sugar. And as we examine the scripture that we're going to learn from today, we see that this is where Apostle John kind of goes hard in the paint. This is where Apostle John starts to show us some tough love, tough love. What comes to your mind when you think of tough love? What comes to your mind? For some of you, your parents come to mind. For some of you, your grandparents come to mind when you think of tough love. Maybe the phrase, telling it like it is, or don't hold any punches back, or those type of phrases come to mind when you think of tough love. But tough love, my brothers and sisters, is necessary from time to time to correct us when we're wrong. Tough love is so important at times to snap us out of the rut that we may have fallen in. The book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 6 says, wounds of a friend can be trusted. Wounds of a friend can be trusted. Some wounds, brothers and sisters, are good for us, right? Some wounds are good for us. Not all wounds are bad. Not all wounds are bad. And I will even say this, if you have a friend that has never confronted you when you have been wrong, then my brothers and sisters, you don't have a friend. You don't have a friend. Because true friends will confront you when you're wrong. That's called tough love. Tough love. In fact, Psalms chapter 141, verse 5 says, let the righteous man strike me. It is a kindness. Let him rebuke me. This is oil on my head. That's tough love, my brothers and sisters. And we need from time to time tough love. And I would encourage us, don't be so sensitive when a loved one tells you that you're wrong. Don't be so sensitive when God uses someone to correct you. Insecure people take things personal. Insecure people get defensive. So as we examine this portion of scripture in 1 John, this is kind of like the space where Apostle John goes hard in the paint. This is where he shows us some tough love. And in this passage of scripture, he identifies two types of walks. He identifies two types of walks. He talks about walking in darkness, and then he talks about walking in light. Walking in darkness and walking in light. Today, I want us to examine a little bit about walking in darkness, walking in darkness. I want us to take a look at what he's talking about. I want us to take a look at what the Bible talks about walking in darkness. Now, he mentions this in verse 6 when he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Did you catch that? That's where he goes hard in the paint. He calls us liars. If we say that we're fellowshipping with God, yet we're walking in darkness, he says, whoever says that is a liar. There goes the tough love right there. Now, as we examine this passage of scripture, the first thing, beloved, that I want you to notice is this word walk. This word walk. Notice it says walk, not stumble or fall. Notice it says walk, not stumble or fall. Now, there is a big difference, beloved, between walking in darkness and stumbling. Major difference between walking in darkness and stumbling. That word walk speaks of a pattern of living. It speaks of a lifestyle. It speaks of intentionally and continual behavior. That's what that word walk speaks of. It speaks of a pattern. It speaks of a lifestyle, beloved. Now, We all, I don't care how close to God you are, I don't care how holy you are, as long as we're in this flesh, we all from time to time will stumble. We all will stumble, whether in word or in deed. But what John points out in this scripture, if you are a Christian, if you're truly walking with God, you will not be walking in darkness. Right? We all stumble. We all fail. We all come short of the glory of God. But if you're walking with God, you will not be walking in darkness. At least you should not be walking in darkness. And so Apostle John here was addressing a problem in the church. He was confronting a problem. There were people at this time that were teaching that you could be a follower of Jesus and yet still walk in darkness, and it's okay. That's what the problem was going on at this particular church. That there were people that were teaching that you could be a follower of Jesus yet still walk in darkness, and that is okay. It's interesting that that problem still exists in many circles today. Many people will try to convince you to say it's okay to believe in God and live however you want to live. It's okay to go to church on Sunday and live however you want to live throughout the week. But John here, he corrects that lie. Apostle John here, he confronts that lie. You cannot, beloved, be a follower and still live a lifestyle of sin. I repeat, I'm going to say it again. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and still live a lifestyle, intentional pattern of sin in your life. Now, Apostle John didn't learn this on his own. We learned that Apostle John was part of the inner circle of Jesus' followers. We learned that Apostle John was very close to Jesus. Where do you think he got this particular truth from? He got this particular truth from Jesus himself, because Jesus taught this same principle. For example, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Let me read that again. "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So John gets this principle from Jesus himself, but this principle is all throughout the Word of God. This principle is all throughout the Word of God. For example, in Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Beloved, it says, cast off the work of darkness, not live in the works of darkness, not lay down in the works of darkness, not hang out in the works of darkness. But the scripture clearly says that as followers of Jesus, by the help of the Holy Ghost, we are to cast off the works of darkness. That was our former life. That's not who we're about now. Jesus has brought us out of the darkness. Jesus has delivered us out of the darkness. We're not supposed to go back to the darkness. There's to be a transformation in our life to the glory of God. Now, in our study today, I want us to kind of look at the works of darkness a little bit today, because I really believe the Lord has put it upon my heart that in this message, it should lead to repentance. We always should have a time of repentance and examination of our heart and come before the Lord in confession. So I want us to take this time to kind of look a little bit at the works of darkness, at what the scripture says about the works of darkness. So what are the works of darkness? What are the works of darkness? In the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 11, the New Living Translation says this: Because we belong to the day, speaking of us as followers of Jesus, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. So it kind of describes the works of darkness in that verse. Kind of gives a list of some of the works of darkness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, in the New Living Translation, the scripture says, "Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God." Wow, that's a warning right there. Let me read that again. Listen to what it says. "You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world." So what are the works of darkness, my brothers and sisters? Now, when you read the entirety of Romans chapter 13 and the entirety of Ephesians chapter 5, it gives kind of an extended list of some of the works of darkness. And I want to kind of identify some. I want to kind of point some out. Now, I need you to kind of follow along and know that I'm speaking out of love and compassion today. I don't point these things out to condemn anybody, but I point them out to raise a standard. Because I really believe the church, we need a standard. We need a standard to live up to. So we don't point these things out to condemn anybody, but we point them out to raise the standard. If we don't have the standard, if we don't have a standard or the standard of the Word of God before us, then we will lay down with anything and we won't rise to the occasion. So it's part of my responsibility to raise the standard, lift up the standard so you could see what God says about the works of darkness. So again, if you read the entire chapter of Romans chapter 13 and Ephesians chapter 5, kind of gives an extended list. I want to identify some of the things that it talks about in reference to the works of darkness. Number one, it speaks of fornication. Fornication, what is fornication? Fornication is having sexual relations with someone who is not your spouse. Sexual relations with someone who is not your spouse. It describes that as the works of darkness. The Lord put it upon my heart a couple years ago, and I say this to the church almost every year. Inevitably, people get married out of this statement that the Lord put upon my heart, but the Lord put upon my heart a couple years ago that if you are living together, but you're not married, you are putting in the work of a married couple, but you're not getting the blessing of a married couple. Let that set in. If you're living together and you're not married, you're putting in the work of a married couple. And how many know it is hard to live together with somebody? Hello, somebody. It's hard to live together with somebody. You gotta be patient. You gotta be forgiving. You gotta be kind all the time, you know. And it's hard to live together. And so if you're living together with somebody and you're not married, you're putting in the work of a married couple, but you're not getting the blessing of a married couple. God cannot bless that relationship. You're not honoring God. And it's an issue of honoring God in your relationship. So I would encourage you, if you're putting in the work, you might as well get the blessing. If you're putting in the work, you might as well get the blessing. If you love him or if you love her, it's time to get married. Honor God in your relationship and you will open up the windows of heaven on your relationship. And I want to take this time to also kind of honor some of the young people in our church that recently got married. You know, when you see young people getting married and honoring the Lord in the relationship, that's something to be celebrated. And recently our youth leader and our admin assistant, Jonathan and Tawny, celebrated their 1 year wedding anniversary, So we praise the Lord for that relationship. We praise the Lord that they decided to honor God in the relationship. Young people honoring the Lord. So may they inspire us, right? May they inspire us. So the Bible identifies fornication as a work of darkness. The Bible also identifies lying as the works of darkness. Adultery as the works of darkness. Trickery. Lust, watch out now. Drunkenness as a work of darkness. The Lord revealed to me a couple years ago that alcohol is a counterfeit Holy Spirit. Alcohol is a counterfeit Holy Spirit. As you know, we've taught many times that the enemy counterfeits God. Whatever God does or whatever God creates, he tries to create a counterfeit substitute that takes the place of the real thing. And the Lord put it upon my heart when I was reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Lord opened my eyes to this connection of what was going on, how they were getting filled with wine because it was making them feel as if it was they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. They were falling for the okie doke, right? Because alcohol is a counterfeit type of the Holy Spirit. And God is saying, listen, I don't want you to get filled with alcohol. I want you to get filled with my Spirit. I want you to get baptized in the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing can compare to being baptized in the Holy Ghost. And I believe if God sent you to Chapel of Change, if you're here at Chapel of Change, one of the things that God wants you to experience is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants you to be filled with power from on high and stop falling for the okey-doke. Stop falling for the okey-doke. So drunkenness is a works of the darkness. Strife is a work of darkness. Sometimes we think the work of darkness is these way out sins of murder and mayhem, and that is. But it's interesting, the Bible includes strife as the works of darkness. So we gotta think about that. Are you always causing arguments in your relationship? We gotta think about that. Do you look back to the last week and see a bunch of arguments in the relationships that you have? Are you butting heads with people all the time? That's called strife, and that's a work of darkness that the Bible reveals. The Bible also identifies envy. Envy is like comparing yourself with others. Envy is like you think you're not as good as everybody else, so you compare yourself with others and you think other people are better than you, and it kind of eats you up. And some of us need to repent from being envy. Another big aspect of walking in darkness is hatred. In fact, Apostle John kind of nails hatred in chapter 2, verse 9. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 9, he actually says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness unto now. That's pretty powerful. You kind of go hard in the paint again right there. That's that tough love. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. As I was preparing for this message and kind of thinking about that principle, you know, America right now is slipping into a culture of hate, and people are no longer agreeing to disagreeing, but oftentimes you'll see people vilifying those who disagree with them. And there's this culture of hate. And the culture of anger and hate is kind of consuming America. I don't know if you've noticed that yet. And this culture of anger and hate is going to intensify as the presidential elections get closer and closer. You're going to see people arguing with one another. You're even going to probably see people cussing at one another. You're going to probably see people drawing lines. You're going to see family members turning against one another. This spirit of hatred and anger that is kind of engulfing America. And I would encourage you, to guard your heart against hatred. I would encourage us not to get caught up in the hatred that is spreading across America and even on social media. I would encourage us to protect our hearts during these tumultuous times. Yes, speak up against injustices. Yes, speak up for what is right, but don't get sucked into the darkness. Don't get consumed by the hatred. Are you following along? Don't get consumed by the darkness. Don't get consumed. Don't allow your heart to be consumed by the hatred. Because, my brothers and sisters, it will render us useless for the kingdom of God. It will render us useless for the kingdom of God. And besides, let me remind us, our ultimate fidelity, our ultimate loyalty is to the kingdom of God. That's where our ultimate loyalty is. It's to the Lamb of God, the kingdom of God. That should be our ultimate loyalty. I agree with Dr. Martin Luther King when he said, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. As we wind down our study today, let me give you a final thought, Our response to the light is to repent from darkness. Our response to the light is to repent from the darkness. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, it says a powerful scripture on what Jesus does in our life. It is a powerful scripture in the of the ministry of Jesus. It says like this: the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Notice the connection. The light has shined. The light has come. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. He said he is the light of the world, right? He said the light has come. And right after it says the light has come, it says Jesus, who is the light, begin to say to the people, begin to preach to the people, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. So our response, what should be our response to the light? How shall we respond to the light when it exposes the works of darkness in our life? How shall we respond? I would suggest to us that our response to the light is to repent from the darkness. Our response to the light is to repent from the darkness. What is repentance? Repentance is an inward change of mind that results in an outward change of direction. An inward change of mind. It means we begin to see sin how God sees it. It means that we begin to side up with God, agree with God. It means we begin to look at the world through the lenses of the Father. And then when we see sin for how He sees it, then there's an outward change. There's a change of direction. We cast off the works of darkness. My brothers and sisters, when God reveals sin in our life, it is not to condemn us, but it's to cleanse us. It's to cleanse us. May we, during this time of quarantine, during this time and season that we're in, may we experience repentance. Even if you're a believer. John said we are to confess our sin, live a life of confession. When the light exposes the works of darkness in our life, may we experience repentance. My brothers and sisters, I'm glad that you joined us today. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to our campus pastors who are going to share just a couple applications of this message. And I hope that you join us again next weekend as we work our way through 1 John. God bless you. I love you, and I'll see you soon.
Praise God for His word. Did anybody get anything out of that word this morning? Give God a big hand praise. Amen. Part of the application, I want to invite the worship team back up. The works of darkness. As we enter this second half, everybody know the date out there? July 12, 2020. Huh? We're halfway through 2020. And I know you're going to remember the first half of 2020 because some memorable things have happened. How many of us have paused to really and truly examine ourselves? God hit the pause button long ago, but some of us have been so wound up, so worried, so stressed about this and that. How many of us have said, Lord, tune my heart, tune my ear so I can hear you. Drown out those thousand voices, all that negative stuff on the news, drown it out. And you speak to me, my God. How many of you know we can't always believe the doctor's report? We can't always believe what Oprah says. We can't always count on Dr. Phil. But I know a man whose name is Jesus. His word is faithful and he is true. He will never leave you, never forsake you, never fail you. So I encourage you to tap into that. Tap into it. Pastor Brian laid out a list of the works of darkness. And the Apostle John seen some things going on in society and in the church that made him go hard in the paint. So we see it going on in the world today. So Pastor Brian's message is to remind us that we should be open to correction, redirection, instruction, amen? That we should aspire to live that holy standard that God has called us to. You know God's word says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He has given us the power to walk in holiness. How many of us have tapped into that today? At this time, I want everybody to reflect on that. We want to just leave a little time for all of us to examine ourselves before God. Say, Lord, I declare that I want to have a strong finish to 2020 in spite of the COVID-19, in spite of all the racial tension in these that's going on in our country. In spite of an election that's coming up, that's going to be a tumultuous season, I want to finish 2020 strong. So let's pray that God would move in us today as the worship team leads us. And I pray that you would surrender your heart, your plans. Throw your plans at the foot of the altar today and give them to Jesus. I can promise you, His plans for you are so much bigger and better than any plan you can think of. So let's examine ourselves today.